all aboard. It's time to take a ride on the NCT.
Funko Pop. Hey guys, do you want to go to Lambert's? Big Ben. I'm married to the Huntress. J Money. Just pop the mic, money. It's time for the MCT. Ladies and guys, guys and ladies. What's up, guys? Welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. My name is Jeremiah Johnson, alongside Big Ben, a.k.a. King Ranch Askew in the house over there.
I am here.
He's here. And let's get to last week, the birthday boy, Funko Pro Greg Walden. Yeah! Happy birthday to you, Greg Walden.
Thank you, guys.
Happy
Born in 1974.
70, man.
Indiana.
Yep.
All right. Tell us all about your life. Growing up in the 70s in Indiana.
Start from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Well, at the beginning, I was in Grissom Air Force. My mom was in Grissom Air Force Base Hospital. Anyways, we'll go past a few years after that.
No.
Nobody wants to do that.
No, go through the whole thing from beginning to now.
Okay. Well.
That town you're born in, is there, when you drive in, is there like a sign that says Greg Walden was born there?
No.
That's my dream. My hometown of Lyons, Nebraska. Jeremiah Johnson was born here.
Well, when you're from Nebraska, I don't feel like that's hard. There's like three people in your town. So.
Not very many.
Just teasing.
There were three people in my town.
You gotta be like an astronaut or political.
Actually, Peru, Indiana is where I was born. It is known as the circus capital of the world, and that's what they call it themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a circus in town. I don't know if it's still operational. I've been a long time since I've been down
Have
here.
You ever been in the circus, Greg Walden?
Not as a employee or an actor or a performer.
You've been to okay.
I've been as audience.
It would have been way more exciting if you like moonlighted it as a clown or something like that.
And I've already got the talent, just can't get the makeup yet.
Oh. So it was Greg Walden's birthday. Do the math however old he is. But it's anyway, old. My best friend in the entire world. Okay, did we get the present we've been longing for your birthday?
Did we get the present?
E-bike, the electric bike?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I did buy one.
You heard it first. Okay. Yep,
I did buy one.
I think I officially said at the end of last episode that I bet that he would have it by the end of the month.
Yep, and he was right. I know. I said, man, going in today, I was like, I know Ben was going to give me heck over it.
I didn't know you bought it.
Yeah, I was going to say it on the show.
I'm glad we could throw you under the bus.
Yeah. Actually, the bike shop, man, they offered me a good deal, man. It's like, the bike, this is a 22 Rail 7. It's $6,800 brand new.
Oh. I mean, it's a demo. You bought that one that they suggested you buy.
Yeah, it's a demo bike, but they said, you know, about three or four weeks ago, they said, $4,600. Like, then I was like, I'll think about it.
You couldn't resist.
And then they called again last week. They lowered it to $4,400.
Oh.
And then yesterday.
Did you haggle? You should have said four.
Well, and then they said, well, we forgot to give you your $200 credit. So they gave me $200 more credit on it. So I ended up paying.
I would have talked him down. Yeah. I would have talked him down. Okay. So that's officially finished, done. It's on its way.
It's on its way.
They shipped it. Okay. So the next bet. MCD.
That's what he's going to be doing as he's climbing the mountain now.
I tell you what, climbing down that e-bike, I tell you what, I was passing Gary. I was passing people going up Mary's
Loop. Gary!
Okay, now the next thing we need to bet on is how long is it going to be before he gets the GoPro 11? I know we've talked about the GoPro 11 every episode, and I'm sure people are tired of it, but I'm thinking before Christmas, he will have the GoPro Hero 11.
No, you know, it's a good camera. I'm not saying it's not a bad camera, but I've been doing my reviews on it. They say the 10 and 11 are so close that
next time, all I know is next time now is the pastor of the church, and I'm giving this, you know, challenge, vision casting, and I need partnership, financial partnership. I can be like, I know some of you out there have money buying your electric bikes, going on your fancy vacations, but you can't give anything extra to the Lord. What's wrong with you people?
Oh, man, conviction.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm a faithful giver to Jesus, man.
All right. We're excited for you, Funko Pro Greg Walden. Happy birthday. Anybody should be excited, I should be excited because it's going to up the intensity of my workouts. Last time we went there to Nick's at Two Rivers Mountain Bike Park, had several naps waiting for Greg Walden. Yep. So we'll be riding together. Just
I had
like
to wake him up
friends.
Last time.
I think it'll be better for you. The only thing is are you going to be able to get it in and out of the back of your truck? Because how much does it weigh?
It's about 52 pounds.
52 pounds.
It's a
little bit beefier, those e-bikes.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I hope to resist the e-bike as long as possible, personally.
Here's my
nothing wrong.
My suggestions don't
judging,
ride it.
Okay. Not judging.
Can we move on to throwing Jeremiah?
Yeah, let's go to me now. Well, enough. Yeah,
it's your turn.
Of Greg Wong. So e-bike, you got it. Praise God.
Just don't. My suggestion is don't ride one if you don't want one.
Okay.
I'm calling Elon Musk.
Oh no! I hope he's not.
I'm calling
right
Elon
now.
Musk. I am
actually on the line.
Letting him know. Boop, boop, boop. Yeah, yes, hello, Elon Musk. Now, Pastor, do you have something you want to admit?
I have drank the Kool-Aid in many areas of my life, one of which is the Rings of Power.
Yes.
I'm sucked in. Amazon Prime. I think you got to have Amazon Prime, right?
Yes, Amazon Prime. You have
okay,
to have
the
it.
Rings of Power. We're on episode 6. I'm on episode 5. I have enjoyed it. Yes. I would give it 7 to 8 out of 10. Keep in mind, The Lord of the Rings, my all-time favorite movie series. I love it. Those orcs, elves, dwarves, it's just great.
And you would fall into the about right. I think it's got a 7 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay, so, I'm right there.
And that's almost 200,000 people have reviewed
it. We mentioned it's better than The Hobbit. I would definitely say better than The Hobbit.
Yep, it definitely has all of the characteristics, you know, the detail, attention to detail, the armor, the swords, all of that, I feel, is very much reminiscent of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings. Very, very good. And I finished episode, was it 6 last night? And it left on a pretty good cliffhanger.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, really you good. Know, the issue that Elon Musk was bringing up, that it was woke, we're unfortunately... I believe in women in ministry, you know, pastors, women in these roles now. So obviously they're pushing female lead roles in many different TV shows, and
specifically
movies.
I think this show is
the same thing here
is female leadership, I think, has been a resonating.
Right.
And I think that's where most people are kind of falling away. Cause they have Galadriel, which is, she's kind of the center of the series, I feel like. And then you have the queen. I forget the island's name. Is it Numenor?
I don't remember the name.
The queen of Numenor.
But yes.
And then you have Bronwyn, which is she's basically, I don't know what you call her, just a lady that ended up becoming a leader of the men in this town, and then her and this elf lead them and blah, 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 blah. So
right.
Female leadership is very big in this, you know, which, you know,
I like it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's not, I don't think it's anywhere demeaning men. Praise God.
No,
we are
right.
Modern Christian dudes. So I haven't seen any alternate lifestyle scenes or promotion of that, which has been good.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times when they do this and they put a strong female lead, they will also at the same time make men, the men characters, dumb, you know, and degrade them and be like, oh, they make all the bad decisions.
Well, they've been doing that with commercials for decades.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in this series, they have very strong male characters and very strong female characters. So I feel like there's a balance there. And I really liked it, you know, some of the relationships between the characters, like Durin and Elrond, I think is a good relationship. And then Durin and his wife, which his wife is kind of a character that a lot of people don't care for because blah, 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 blah. I think it's a great relationship that they have in their marriage and, you know, a strong marriage. But
the overall, if I'm saying this right, kind of the overall storyline right now is basically the elves, dwarves, everyone thinks that evil is no longer present.
Yeah.
It's kind of finished. It's over with. Let's all relax in life. We don't need to worry about it. All the while, evil is building, subtly building, and wanting to take over Middle Earth again. Is that roughly the correct storyline?
Yeah, that's roughly they're basically they think they've vanquished all evil and that everything's good and golden, but
Yeah. The spiritual, and that where I think you can get these spiritual overtones. It's kind of like in America, I think the church is pretty aware that there's a lot of bad and evil, but the issue of complacency and just kind of letting evil exist and trying to ignore it, I still think is an issue the church does sometimes.
Yeah. And okay. And then I'll go into this too. And I can see how some people would take this and not be happy with the series as well. So, the orcs, or Uruks, as they say in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, they don't say orcs?
No.
They're different.
There's a certain character that corrects Galadriel that it's Uruks and not orcs. Anyway, doesn't matter. But they're kind of... In a couple of the episodes, they kind of painted the orcs as... try to have sympathy for orcs.
Right.
And there's been a couple of instances where, you know, one of the orcs is dying. And, you know, in previous Lord of the Rings, it's like... It's like there's a YouTube video where they show
all the orcs in every movie Lord of the Rings getting killed in five minutes.
Yeah.
YouTube that. It's great.
So it's kind of
love orcs dying.
Yeah, it's kind of
slaughtered.
Like a brainless, like, oh, you kill an orc that's not that bad. But in this series, they kind of paint it as like, oh, that like they have feelings and, you know, there's sadness when one of them dies and stuff. And it was like,
because an orc is essentially a fallen elf.
Yeah. Or a corrupted elf.
Corrupted elf.
Yeah. And so in this last episode, I'm not going to reveal anything big on this one, but he kind of paints a sympathy. This character paints a sympathy for the orcs and stating that, hey, you know, orcs exist and they have just as much right to exist in Middle Earth as any other race.
Then that's fine. Just stop killing and eating humans.
Right.
And so, elves and dwarves. So come on, guys.
I see them kind of like shifting this, you know, trying to get sympathy for the Uruks and Middle Earth. So I can see some people not being happy with that, but I don't know. It paints an interesting picture.
It was like Greg Walden developing that sympathy so he could buy an e-bike,
right?
Similarly to that, like getting that empathy. So we'd be like, oh, it's okay.
Hey, this was wife approved.
But okay. All right.
I think is there three episodes? I think there's actually 9 episodes that they're supposed to be.
Okay.
But yeah, so we're almost
Rings of Power. We are going to give it, I'm not going to give it like double thumbs up or whatever you might say, but
yeah,
I think it's worth a watch. I think if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, such as I am, I think you're going to walk away at least satisfied minimum.
I think I will give my official review after the whole series is done.
That's true. They could do something really weird at the end. It's like, okay, now you just ruined the whole thing for us.
I mean, Tolkien kind of drew that line of good versus evil and, you know, darkness and light and you know, that's very, he was obviously a Christian. And so that was in his books. Him and C.S. Lewis had many conversations about, you know, Tolkien was mad.
Writing buddies, a group called the Inklings. If you do the historical research,
I think Tolkien was mad a lot of times at Lewis because Lewis drew so close parallels to the Bible and, you know, Christ. And Tolkien more or less liked to be more dark versus light and not paint such a picture of, you know, Christ dying and instances and stuff like that. So,
I mean, you almost don't even have to be a Christian to realize C.S. Lewis is bringing a Christian perspective, but Lord of the Rings, I don't think you necessarily catch that.
Right. So I would say right now where the series sits, my concern would be we're painting sympathy for the evil.
Unless it turns out to be a Thanos-like sympathy, right?
Yeah.
Because Thanos is, that's what they tried to do with Thanos, in a sense, is like, it's really, he was trying to do a good thing by eliminating half of existence.
Yeah.
He's trying to do a good thing, okay? I mean, what's the, but anyway, I wonder if it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be.
The Rings of Power, Greg Walden, Funko Pro, have you watched this?
No, I haven't watched it.
It's pretty good.
All right. Okay. Watch it for your birthday. Our now gift to you to watch it.
Now, where's it at?
Amazon Prime.
I don't have Amazon Prime anymore.
We know you have that.
I don't have Amazon Prime no more.
You don't?
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, it's the many layers of Funko Pro Greg Walden that we discover each and every episode.
There is one more exciting bit of news that came out this week.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys missed this or not, but Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's back to the... Which, I'm not going to watch Deadpool.
Supposedly is supposed to reprise his role as Wolverine in the new Deadpool movie. Which,
yeah. I can't watch Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool's not really...
that's going to be... we will not suggest that as modern Christian.
Yeah.
Watch that.
But it is interesting because Hugh Jackman said he wouldn't do it anymore. So that's some huge news this week.
But I'm sure that maybe the dollar amount was right, correct?
Oh,
other things lined up. It was like, contractually, we'll throw in a free e-bike for you. It could have been certain things like that, but...
I saw the. did you see that one trailer they had? Like they had Ryan Reynolds sitting on the couch and said, "Hey Hugh, you want to play Wolverine again? You want to play Wolverine again?" And I thought he said, "Sure, Ryan."
He walked behind.
Yeah.
See this. I could be wrong, but I think he's going to be Hugh Jackman as Hugh Jackman in Deadpool, not Wolverine. It'd be pretty upsetting. Anyway.
Yep. So there you go. That's Deadpool. I tried to watch it one time and got partially into the movie and I was like, wow, this is inappropriate.
It's bad.
It's bad. Language.
I watched when VidAngel first came out, I watched the first Deadpool on VidAngel, which VidAngel, if you don't know, is like, it would take out all you would go through and you say, hey, I don't want to see violence. I don't want to see nudity. I don't want to see this or that. And it would take it out of the movie. Well, with Deadpool is like, well, you don't have much of a movie after you put all those filters on it. So
it's like listening to modern rap music where you take all the bad language. I was like,
yep.
All right. God did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, let's, I forgot to let's connect the dots here. Elon Musk. I'm not necessarily a big robot guy. Are you guys into robots?
I am scared.
I don't think we don't have to be worried at all. There's a lot of things we could be worried about in times. Mark of the Beast, robots is not one because they are so far from anywhere close to doing anything that we would deem like the old Will Smith movie very far from that. But anyway, for better or for worse, Tesla bot came out last week. They introduced did you guys see this?
No, I didn't
see let's see, where's I'm trying to get the right article here. But Tesla's AI Day 2022, they unveiled the Tesla bot. His name's Optimus.
Optimus.
They kind of got a real hard time. This is the picture of the bot right there. But he was very clunky. Didn't really walk too well. But Elon definitely has that in mind. The humanoid. Because I actually listened to a whole podcast on robots. And that's the big mistake, which I discovered in listening to that, is when we talk about robots, we're always connecting it to a humanoid type robot, right?
Yeah.
So when we talk about robots, we're just naturally assuming, oh, they're going to create the Will Smith AI humanoid. That's not even like a thing. I mean, it is a thing, but it's not really the purpose.
Yeah.
We're building all kinds of robots to do like one routine or one action or motive. So basically in that podcast, they were saying a truly humanoid robot is so far from coming into existence because it's so intricate to make humanoid robot.
I've seen a few videos of very fluid movement of humanoid robots. Now, I'm not saying that there was any intelligence there as far as the facial features. They had human skin on it and its eyes and the way it blinked. And I think that the biggest thing that when you see robots is like, it's a very robotic movement, but this one, I saw a few that was very fluid movement with its hands and arms and stuff. And that was intimidating. I'll tell you another one that's intimidating is the one when you started seeing the ones that did the front flips. And all that
which they mentioned in this article. Yep.
Those ones, like, you just see that and you're like, what in the world? And then Boston Dynamics, when I saw that dog robot open a door, I mean, there's very like, what in the world? But
right.
I mean, like 20 years from now, if you're going for a surgery, chances are you could be getting operated on by a robot.
So this is good here. And this is what I've researched before. So, I think this is Elon quoting here. It's possible, even likely, that Tesla will build some sort of Tesla bot by sometime next year. As Musk says, I think that it won't look all that much like the concept images in this presentation. I think that it'll be able to stand up and perhaps walk, maybe withstand a shove or two and do some basic object recognition and grasping. And I think after that, progress will be slow. But the hard part is not building a robot. It's getting the robot to do useful stuff. So yeah. That's so okay. So again, it's like task oriented. It's like, okay, we can build a robot and we can get it to do backflips, but then
yeah,
what else can it do?
You know, to do everything that's what I mean.
I think
what
Boston, it should do is Boston, make us Boston Dynamics has a
has a
robot where it'll pick up boxes and move boxes here and there. Like as a warehouse worker, you know, like all those guys that have been in that industry for a long time, their elbows and their shoulders are blown out from, you know, picking up a box and putting it here or there. So those tasks, and there's also that ostrich type robot. Have you ever seen that one? It's got two wheels and it's got a counterbalance and it's got an arm that does suction and it grabs the top of the box with suction and then picks it up and then takes it to another warehouse.
Yeah.
And these are all robots that are currently working tasks and stuff. Even the company that I worked for, Dot Foods in Mount Sterling, they have some forklifts that will go and pick up pallets and stuff. But the thing about that is now you have a robot that will work 24/7, and then if you figure that towards human labor, what they're actually saving there is actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, you look at Sam's Club; they got the robots that go clean the floors. The floor cleaners.
Yeah. But okay, I have a grievance with that though. I was in Walmart the other day, and they had one of those running. But they had a person that was walking behind it and monitoring it, making sure that it was doing okay. It was at Sam's Club, I'm sorry. But I was like, so hang on. You still have an employee that has to babysit that machine as it does its work. What's the difference in that and him actually riding a little Zamboni? Like, there's no.
Yeah, they're worried that the robot might go run somebody over or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think, what was the answer here? Oh, the thing I was going to say is I think what, when I look at this robot stuff, I don't get massively into it, but what it does do spiritually for me is make me appreciate the complexity of human beings.
Yeah.
So like we have all this technology and we can't, there's no humanoid. I mean, yes, there's ones that like have done good with like, oh, we made a robot that does a flip. Oh, we made a robot that can, but they can't pull it all together into an actual humanoid. We have this humanoid that makes good facial features, all these kind of things. But you know, it just shows the complexity of God's creation of us as human beings.
Well, even
that AI, they're never going to get there. Like I listened to a podcast on AI and the guy was like, don't freak out about AI because AI is just processing information and then regurgitating it. It's like, it's still not a human. It like still can't do what a human does.
Yeah.
Humans are so unique. We are the image of God.
Right.
We are unique and you cannot manufacture that. You can't duplicate that. So I don't care AI, VR, AR, whatever. You will not ever be able to make a human. Only God can.
Well, they say like a couple weeks ago, I was coming home from work. I was listening to, I think I was listening to one of the talk shows. And they's like, you like heard the phrase like people only use 10% of their brains.
That's not true.
Well, that's what one thing is. But they say that like of all those studies that people have done on the brain that maybe only – they've only can understand 10% of what the brain is.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that you were hit. That was from my preaching from the book of Job. That was where it came from, not a radio. Were you listening to my preaching in Job?
Oh, some of the sermons. I can't remember that particular example. But
thanks, buddy. Happy birthday. Anyway, but we brought that up. What I brought up is the 10% value. They're basically saying, why is using that with the brain, the universe? We only understand, we don't understand. We've only connected to or began to research 4% of all that we see in the universe, our brains, etc. We are so far from tapping into humanity.
Yeah.
So in one sense, you know, we don't have to freak out that all of a sudden there's going to be like Terminator robots all over the place.
Right. For the longest time, we thought the smallest item of matter was the atom. But now that you look at the atoms, they're actually small. You know, there is actually pieces in the atoms.
Yeah.
And so I was like, how much detail goes down further? It's like God has created all of that.
Yeah.
See, I always call science the discovery of what God's already created. It's like science is basically man discovering what God's already created new is his creation. God's already planted out new. So God just allows you to get a little snippet of what he's created, you know.
All righty, let's move on from that, but research that more if you want to. So Elon making the Tesla. Let's get the Cybertruck done first. Let's focus on that.
Right.
All right. Here we go. Let's talk a little bit of NFL football. We are now we're about almost a quarter of the way through the NFL season. We're past game four now, moving into game five.
Actually, this was game five.
Congratulations there, Chiefs fans.
Yes, Chiefs. Oh, man.
That was the big game, the Sunday night game. The Chiefs lay the spanking down on the Buccaneers 41-31.
Yeah.
Mahomes gets that dub over the GOAT, Tom Brady. Yep. Man, Pat Mahomes was putting on. He clearly ate the Mahomes magic crunch for breakfast that morning.
But a lot of people ain't noticing that they actually are starting to get a halfway decent running game, too.
Yeah. Mm. The score should have been, I didn't watch all the game, but I did watch some highlights, and I watched some of the beginning. The score should have been more than that. I mean, there was a couple plays where they missed first downs, which could have led to at least a field goal.
Well, Mahomes did throw an interception.
Potential touchdowns.
That one interception that would have put him in good scoring position if they wouldn't have got intercepted.
Hey, you know who else won yesterday? The Cowboys.
The Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? That is interesting. So now the Cowboys, with their new quarterback, Cooper Rush, undefeated.
Some drama.
So they're 3-1. So what are they going to do with Dak? That's the question. Dak Prescott. Is he done?
I have never been a Dak Prescott fan. Since year one, I've said, you know what? I'm not sold. Everybody went out and bought their Dak Prescott jersey, and I was like, I'm not sold. I'm not. And it's proven that he's not really performed. But I don't know. Maybe this will put some pressure on him. Maybe he'll do better with pressure. And
chase the Eagles, because I think the Eagles right now, they're only undefeated team, right?
Yeah.
A couple other highlighted games. You just brought up the Philadelphia Eagles. I think a lot of people not expecting them to be undefeated at this point, beating the Jaguars, who are also on the upside. Another interesting game, the Patriots. Continuing to spiral downward. They're now 1-3. They lost 27-24 in overtime versus the Green Bay Packers.
Sorry to all my New England fans.
Bill Belichick losing the great divorce between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He's losing right now. Tom Brady looking like, I guess it was all because of him that they had all of that success. Other games of note, we had the Cowboys. Everyone loves those Cowboys, but that was the big one. And then the Thursday night game where the Dolphins lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, the big theme coming out of that game was Tua, their quarterback, concussion, which looked really, really bad.
Yeah, that guy got whoever observed him, I guess, got fired.
But NFLPA fired.
But then I saw that he got hired again or something like that. I don't know. I didn't read the article.
So did he have a concussion prior to the game, or
they believe he did.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it was really weird. Like his fingers and his hands and stuff. Like, anyway, that was, it was kind of scary. And obviously he had a pre-existing issue, because it didn't look like that hit was that hard on the ground. Like, I don't feel like I've seen
the I have hit seen that he worse. Took the week before on the Sunday was bad. If you go back and watch the Sunday, his head snaps back, slams against. So they're saying, why did they let him play Thursday night a few days later? That's the big debate, is not so much the hit that he took in that particular game on the Thursday night game, but it was the Sunday. If you go back and watch that video, it was definitely like a snap back, cracks his head hard. He's wobbling. He's stumbling.
Yeah.
They eventually let him back in the game. So still very interesting how the NFL is. Yeah. Player safety has definitely increased, but this shows you how bad the NFL can be.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's worse.
Dangerous for the body.
It's worse than that. You got guys that are just held together by Cheetos.
Yeah.
and essential oil. No, I'm just teasing. But,
just put some tea tree oil on it.
You don't realize how devastating on your body professional sports are.
Yeah.
I've had a friend that was a professional basketball player, and she, even at the collegiate level, was taking steroid shots in her back and stuff just to get out of bed. And then you get to the professional level, and those guys' bodies are so torn up by that point. You have all of high school, then you have all of college, and you have all the years that you've played.
Put a lot of stress on those joints and body parts.
Joints, body parts, your head. But Yeah.
I mean, there's one guy, this great athlete. I mean, he was a cyclist. I mean, it was so brutal on his body that towards that, when he got older in life, he had to get an e-bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Me. Wow. He ain't trying to be, just to be honest, that's Greg. Yeah.
Greg Walden.
So hey, devastating.
I'm telling you, the guy at the bike shop, he's 78 years old. This guy is 78 years old. Nicest guy you ever meet. And he's like, yeah, dude, I couldn't ride a bike. And he's skinny. He's not like he's not an obese or anything. He's real skinny, but he has enjoying issues and stuff like that. He's like, if he went for an e-bike, he wouldn't be able to mountain bike. So he's like, he's out there enjoying his mountain bike.
Yeah.
E-bike helps, you know.
Yeah,
we love you, Greg Walden. You should have just
got some installed robot legs instead of an e-bike.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That might be in the future. Yeah,
we can rebuild him, gentlemen.
Elon Musk is working on that, actually. So right? That Neuralink is originally going to be.
That's what I'm going to go for. I'll let you have the e-bike. I'll have like robotic legs.
Yeah.
Instead.
Awesome. Yeah.
At least I want to wake you up on the. You know, we used to go riding. I was like, I can keep up with you, and you don't have to wake you up from naps. So, yeah, Pastor, I'm here.
Yeah, he did. Well, see, that's it. He really did it for you, Pastor.
Yeah, I did it for you, man.
He did it for you.
I believe that. I do. All right. Well, on a serious note, as we talk a little spiritual talk today, I had the unfortunate or fortunate, I guess, based on we can talk about this from a biblical perspective. But this last week, I had the I was there when two people died. Left this earth.
Two separate instances. Yeah.
And I've done that, maybe two or three other times, been in the room when that person exits this life on earth. And it's always very sobering. It's sobering because you know, like, I know this sounds really dumb, but like when it happens, I like kind of look around because I'm like, I wish I could see spiritually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's happening? You know, like, is an angel sweeping in the room? Are there demons in the room? Are there both, like, really, you know, what is really unfolding spiritually right now?
Yeah.
There can be the response of people that have, even this particular individual last night kind of leaned the head towards, although highly drugged and sedated, kind of tilted their head towards the two siblings that were there with completely glazed over eyes. But, you know, was there something happening there? I don't know. And it's very interesting. And then when they, you know, they do die, you can see it. You can kind of see life exit their body. And it's just a very weird thing. And what can make that interesting? Number one, it's going to be sad no matter what, right? You could be, it could be Billy Graham, or it could be the greatest saint of all time that you know is going to be with Jesus and that kind of thing. But it doesn't diminish what we have to process as physical human beings when someone else dies. I mean, it's just hard, you know, just hard. It's difficult. It's emotional. I mean, if I was that person in the bed last night and you guys were around me, I hope when I died, you wouldn't be like, oh man, praise God, you know, like smile. And no, it'd be very emotional. It'd be like sad, you know? But when we're believers in Christ, it's a weird dichotomy for us to embrace, because we're sad, but we're not supposed to be sad, you know, because we would look at that person and because of the truth and the promise of God's word, be like, well, he's not really dead, you know, he's alive, you know, and he's more alive than ever before. And he's experiencing eternal life, but it's just very difficult to process. And then, you know, it's difficult to process because sometimes I have been in connection with people that, in my opinion or my perspective, I don't know that that person was a follower of Jesus. And praise God, I'm not the judge. I don't get to decide who gets to go to heaven or not. But some of those people, if they're in heaven or not, you know, some of those people I'd be like, I might say no to. And then for the family to have to process all that stuff, it's very interesting. So I'm just throwing out the idea today, this simple idea that, you know, we are all going to die. You know, I think we so often live with this perspective, like we're going to live forever in this human physical life.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. You know, you're going to be there. And I think that's what the sobering reality that I continue to experience as a pastor is, looking at this people and knowing that I could be the next one, knowing that I could be the one with in that hospital bed with tubes jammed down my mouth and up my nose and completely incoherent with people gathered around me praying that maybe God would do one last. I could be that person today. I could be that person tomorrow. It might be 50 years. But one thing I do know is I will be that person one day. You know, Jesus could come back. Okay, we understand that too. But apart from that, I am going to be that person.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the person that's dying someday. And it sure would be nice if we all could just live a long life and just die in our sleep.
Yep.
That would be a great scenario. But you know what? I have to take on the mindset. And listen, I prophesy, speak life over my body, my, you know, cancer, freedom, sickness, you know, I want that. But those realities could come into my life at some point. And so now it's like, I'm not going to deny that, or I'm not wishing that or prophesying over my life, but just, we should always be living with a healthy reality that like, this life is a vapor. Right. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. So how am I going to live? And am I going to live for what matters the most? And so it just always brings me back to that truth. And that reality that I want to encourage us with is that we should be living this life with purpose. We should be living this life to accomplish something. And we should be living this whole life for Jesus, because that's what's going to matter at the end of the day when we're finally on that deathbed. It's like, what mattered in life?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting. This conversation has actually been coming up a lot in my life too. And I had a conversation with a really good friend of mine. And he asked, he's like, you know, what are your thoughts on once saved, always saved, or, you know, and this and that. And, you know, obviously I have my biblical answers for that and my biblical opinion of that and my denominational opinion of that. And, which we don't necessarily have to get into, but read Matthew. And it says that, the narrow is the gate, and not all of those who say that they cried out, Lord, Lord, you know, we did miracles in your name are going to make it. Anyway, I say all that to say this. It's like you have to, that argument of once saved, always saved should be negated, because you should not be living so close to the edge with your life that you'd have to be worried about once saved, always saved, right? So if you become a Christian and you're living your life, you know, you should be so far, you know, going in closer to God that you don't even have to worry about if that is a problem. You know what I mean? I feel like that sometimes people try to justify in the end of life that, hey, you know, they were a Christian and everybody goes to heaven mentality. And it's like, that's not the reality. You know, I believe that the Bible says that, you know, people are not going to make it that thought they're going to make it. And you need to make sure that you're living your life daily in pursuit of God and a relationship with God. So you're not even close to that edge of whether or not you're going to go or not.
Yeah.
And even in the end of life too, as a pastor, you can't make assumptions either. I don't think that for them going to heaven or for them not going to heaven, because you don't really truly know the heart of a person, you know, 100%. It could appear that they've been a devout Christian and, you know, as close as possible, but you don't know what's in their heart or what's, you know, been behind all that.
And I did a funeral last week and I read two scriptures. The first one was John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then I read the second one, which is Luke chapter 9, which is my life verse. If anyone wants to deny himself, he'll take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will find it. And I'm like, basically what I was trying to tell that audience was like, I don't think just believing in Jesus is good enough.
Right.
Like, because that's what a lot of people do, right? They're like, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, but I think that...
Where is he at in your life, though? Yeah. Like, is it a daily sacrifice and surrender that you're striving for each and every day? It seems like the gospel is yes, there's belief, but then there's practice in the living out of that belief.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a difference between believing about Jesus and believing in Jesus, because if you truly encounter Jesus, it should change your life. Look at Paul. I mean, Saul. He encountered Jesus. It totally wrecked his life. I mean, not wrecked his life as far as in the bad way, but it wrecked who he was at the time.
He couldn't totally be the same anymore.
It changes life.
Yeah.
So you cannot have an encounter with that big of a force without having an impact on your life. So having an encounter where Jesus impacts your life, it changes your life if you truly encountered him. Mm-hmm. Now, having a head knowledge, I believe Jesus existed. I believe he's a good guy and all that, but your life has not been impacted. Then you didn't encounter Jesus. I'm sorry, but Jesus is it's a huge force. It's like if I walk out there on the highway and a semi truck hits me, that's a huge force. Well, God's obviously a bigger fact. I mean, he impacts you greater than anything else in the universe, and he's an impact. So you have an encounter, you have the impact, an encounter where Jesus impacts you.
Yeah,
a tremendous way it changes. I mean, it brings life to a dead person. I mean, you're dead before you become saved. You're spiritually dead, mm-hmm. and he brings new life into your body. You know, you become a whole new. Basically, the Bible says you become a new creation.
Yeah,
and so that's, I mean, that's the same. You know, that's to say, there's a difference between believing about Jesus and believing in Jesus. I believe in Jesus because he's had an impact on my life. Or, you know, I don't want that old sinner man that, you know, that I used to be.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, you know, the goal here isn't, because I honestly have moments where I think about eternity. It really freaks me out, even as a pastor, as a Christian.
Yeah.
Forever. Like, what? You know, I mean, it's cool when you're watching The Rings of Power and elves live forever. It seems cool. But when you really think about it, like, forever? Wait, this is a really, really, really big deal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't think we need to freak out like, oh man, I messed up today, I'm going to go to hell or things like that. But there should be a cognitive sense of like, God, am I living for you? Mm-hmm. Because I want to know you and I'm not doing this just to get into heaven. It's like the one Dr. R.B. Maynard, a local resident here, he brings up the point, I think it was Francis Chan said, like, you know, would you be excited? Are you more excited about heaven or Jesus? Basically the point he was making, if you got to go to heaven and you never had to like live for or experience Jesus, would you still be happy about that? Am I making sense in the point? The point is like some people could care less about knowing Jesus. They just want to go to heaven.
Oh, right. Yep.
And when the reality is like, I hope our desire is like, Jesus, I love you. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to give you a life. This is not just all just for insurance sake. Yeah. This is not just so that I can get into heaven. I actually love you. I actually want to serve you. I actually want you to be a part of my life. I love you for you, not just for what I can get from you. Although, God, thank you that I've lost the scripture now. You have the free gift of eternal life that I'm going to experience one day.
Yeah.
But God, the greatest part about heaven is that I will get to be with you, my Father, and I will get to be in your presence, and I will get to experience right relationship with you in its intended fashion that you set forth from the beginning, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yes. If all Jesus ever did for us was go to the cross and die for our sins and salvation, if that's the only thing he ever did for us, he'd be worth serving for us of eternity.
Right.
I mean, he goes beyond, I mean, he blesses us. I mean, you know, we see healings and all, you know, gives us peace, eliminates the fear of death. I mean, going on the death, like, nobody wants to die, but as a believer, you don't really have the ultimate terror like you would if he was not, if Jesus terrors, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't bother me as it used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that I hear recently, you know, we're talking about having your relationship with God and desiring that, you know, that, well, all right, you begin to have your relationship with God and your closeness and like, okay, you're building that faith and that relationship with God, but what are you doing with it? You know, and I've been telling the youth kids here lately, it's like, it's not about you, you know? Yeah. I think sometimes as Christians, we take that and you're like, okay, my relationship with God and my relationship with Jesus is, you know, building my faith and building myself up. It's like, okay, well, what are you doing with it? What's the next step? You know? And then you look at it and it's like, okay, Great Commission. It's like there's a whole world out there of people that are not saved and are not living life according to Jesus. You know, I think we get comfortable sometimes in coming to church on a weekly basis and just coming to church to fill ourselves up. How often are we doing that in a selfish mentality? You know, how many times have I heard people, you know, it's like, oh, I'm just not getting anything out of this preacher, or I'm not getting anything out of these services. It's like, okay, well, you know, that's a selfish mentality. I feel like that they have, it's like, okay, I'm building myself, but you know, building my faith. Okay. Well, you know, at some point we need to stop looking inwardly and we need to start looking outward, mm-hmm. because it's not about you.
Right.
Right. It's like one of the desires of my heart would be to build myself up and build my faith up to now show what Christ can do in my life to others. Mm-hmm. Right. And showing them like, hey, you know, like, yes, I have this struggle. I'm building myself up for when those struggles come and those things, you know, I am strong in my faith and I'm ready for them. You know, it's like you're storing up all this, you know, this God knowledge and all this faith, you know, but what are you doing with it? You know, and I've been telling him it's not about you, right? Yeah. It's about your great commission, and you are supposed to go out and spread the gospel.
Yep.
Right. And that's what Christ said before he commissioned you, you know, and he sent the Holy Spirit to you to help you do that. Right. And building your faith and all of that. And it's like, we need to stop being so inwardly focused on ourselves as Christians. And we need to make sure that we're going out, you know, and this is all I'm reading a book right now. It's, you know, it's talking about that outreach, you know, and that outreach and, you know, giving me some conviction. It's like, okay, I spend a lot of time at the church focusing on, you know, this and this, this and that. And
you got a lot of churchy duties. Right, okay?
Exactly. Just don't give me the dead guy duty. Okay? You know? But, you know, it's like, okay, I'm building my faith. I've got my relationship with God and stuff. It's like, okay, now I've surrounded myself with all these Christian people, and I've felt myself hungering and craving going out and talking to people, you know, and am I reaching people that are lost? So that's why I've been really intent on, you know, going to the crisis center and going to the junior high and going out there and just and being a light.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the best experiences as a Christian you could ever have is being there and actually getting to lead somebody to Jesus. That's, yeah. I think that's the best experience you could ever have as a Christian. Yeah. I mean, that girl a couple months ago, I mean, when she raised her hand, I drove home. I was so excited and happy. And
yeah.
I was like, man, I've seen somebody actually, you know, give, you know, you yeah. help, you know, it wasn't me doing it, it was Jesus. Obviously it was the Holy Spirit and Jesus doing,
yeah.
you know, convicting her Jesus did the salvation, but you know, being able to be used
yeah.
to be able to help, you know, be in that process was amazing.
Yep. Praise God. Well, you're going to die, guys. That's the story. You're going to die.
Yep.
And so you might as well live it all out, live with purpose, make it matter. Leave no questions on the table that like, man, that guy right there, and I saw his passion for Jesus.
And it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been a Christian. There's still more of God.
Yep.
Right. It doesn't matter if you're 90 years old and been in church for 60 years. There's still more of God to show you.
Amen.
All right. Happy birthday, Greg Walden, Funko Pro Greg Walden. You don't need to send him any gifts. He's already got what he wants. He's a fully satisfied man. Talk to you guys later. Mr. President. Just go ahead and hit the button there anytime there, Funko Pro Greg Walden. All aboard.
It's time to take a ride on the MCT.
Funko Pop. Hey, guys, do you want to go to Lambert's? Big Ben, I'm married to the Huntress. J Money, just pop the mic money. It's time for the MCT. Ladies and guys and ladies, MCT.